Hello and welcome to the Unity Presbyterian Church podcast. This week, join us for homecoming as Pastor David looks at those who have gone before us and led us into our lives of faith. Let's listen.
Well, I would like us to ponder an opening question today. Just be thinking about this. We'll get this on the screen. What is a good definition of faith? If someone asked you that, someone who maybe didn't grow up in the church, and they said, hey, what is faith? What would be a good definition? Is faith simply something you believe in, even strongly? Is faith trusting an idea or a concept? Or can you put your faith in someone, choosing to follow someone or something? Yes, what is a good definition of faith? Well, I'm not going to make you wait long until we come up with a good definition, because we are studying a section of the book of Hebrews today. And the author begins chapter 11 with his definition of faith. And I believe it's an excellent one. And so let's begin with his definition of faith. Chapter 11, verse 1 of Hebrews, he says this: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." What that means is that you and I have never seen God. And yet, we as Christians live by the conviction of what we have not yet seen, assured of the hope of what we have not laid our eyes upon. This is what it means to live by faith. And so I try to live by faith in my life, even though I've never seen God. And yet I've seen the results of God working in my life. And so I live according to the conviction that God is guiding me and present in my life on a day-to-day basis. That is what it means to live by faith and not by sight. I have found that one of the best ways to understand faith is to see it lived out in other people. Other people where you stand in awe of because they are living their lives based on a conviction that God is present. They are assured of the hope that comes in their faith, and the way they have lived as a response has really stood out to you. And so that's actually what the author of Hebrews does next. He gives us this definition of here's what faith is, and then he uses the rest of the chapter, all 28 verses, giving you examples of people who have lived their lives according to that conviction. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to read some excerpts from chapter 11. I'm not going to read the whole 28 verses because that would take us a long time, but I do encourage you to go home today and study chapter 11. See all of these examples of people who lived by faith. They are inspiring. But for this time, let's read a couple of excerpts, and the author of Hebrews begins listing people in chronological order, starting in the book of Genesis. People who are examples to us who have lived by conviction of what they have not yet seen with their eyes. Pay attention to how many times you see the word faith and the context in which it's used. He begins in this way: "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain's. And through this, he received approval as righteous, God himself giving approval to his gifts. He died, but through his faith, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out not knowing where he was going. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones." Do you get the point? that the author of Hebrews is trying to make about faith, he's listing example after example of people who have lived by this conviction that God is present even though they had not seen God with their eyes. And he's listing all these examples, and he has not even made it out of the book of Genesis yet, the first book in the Bible. Yes, if you continued to read, well, not only would you hear about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and on and on and on, but you would go on to read so many more examples in the Old Testament of people who have lived by faith. Yes, the point that this author was making is that throughout Judaism and Christianity, God has asked people to live by faith. God has asked people to live according to a conviction in what they have not yet seen. It goes on to Moses and Rahab, Gideon, David, Samuel, on and on and on. These lists of characters grows. What I want you to realize is that these were real people who had to make real choices to live according to their faith. When you grow up in the church, you begin sometimes to view them just as characters in a book, almost otherworldly, not like us, and yet they're exactly like us. They are humans. They are people just like us who lived extraordinary lives, and because of that, their stories were recorded in the Bible. And so, they lived with a conviction and a hope. And after we read all those examples, what we're supposed to do is to say, well, do we? Do we live with this same conviction and hope? Well, I hope so. I mean, as Christians, I can tell you I have a hope. I have a hope for a brighter future. I have a hope that one day love will triumph over hate. I have a hope that I can't see God, but that God is still at work. Yes, I live my life based on a hope. And not only do I have a hope, but I have a conviction. I have a conviction that even though I've never seen God with my eyes, that God is present and guiding this world to a better reality than I could ever imagine. Yes, I, as a Christian, live my life based off of this hope and conviction. And that is what it means to have faith. Where does that leave us? I mean, you get an entire chapter, chapter 11, of example after example of people who have lived by faith. So where does that leave us? Well, simply put, chapter 12, right after this section, starts with the word therefore. As in, therefore, because of all these people who went before us, therefore, because of all these examples of people who live by faith, therefore, this is how we get to live in response. The author says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Yes, today our scripture talks about running a race, but it's not a physical race. No, it is a spiritual race that you are running today. And so I want you to picture yourself, even if you're not a runner, if you've never run in your life, I want to picture yourself as a runner today. And you are running a spiritual race. But it's not a 5K or a marathon or even an Ironman. No, this race is a lifelong race of faith that we are all on together. Yes, this is the race of faith that we get to participate in. And so the question that naturally emerges when you read that in the scripture is, how do I run that race well? How do I be a good runner? Well, I think two things really emerge from the scriptures. And the first is this. If you say how to run the race of faith well, the first step would be to avoid obstacles. As some of you know, I went to college in Washington State, Spokane, Washington. And that's when I really got into running. I ran a bit in high school, but in college, I really said, that's my form of exercise. I'm going to be a runner. And when I would run, once you get off campus, there were some trails that very quickly took you away from the houses and the subdivisions, really just out into nature. And so I would often go and run by myself, and there it was the hill trail that I would generally go on, and so I would be huffing and struggling running these hills, but I loved it. I loved getting out there and doing that. But I can remember one day, it was in the fall, but it was a particularly cold fall morning. It was really crisp when I began. And so I'm focused, and I'm running these hills, and I can see my breath, and I'm just focused on what's in front of me, because it's a really challenging run. And I turned the corner, and I saw just about the last thing I expected to see on the trail in front of me. I saw a moose. And right there, full head of antlers, moose, right in the trail in front of me. And I learned later that moose are highly territorial. Did you know that? I didn't know that. Highly territorial. And so the question emerges, if you're running and you're trying to run a certain distance or get in a certain amount of mileage in your day, and yet there's a moose right in front of you, what do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You turn around. You cut your run short and you say, I'll try again tomorrow. Yes, no, when we're running races, particularly the spiritual race that we're all on, the race of faith, the first step that we need is to avoid obstacles. Or in my case, you just say avoid moose. But that's what the scripture says. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely to us. What our scripture is saying is that when you run the race of faith, the sins in our lives can act as weights, things that weigh us down, slow us down, and make it harder to run the race of faith. They act as obstacles in our lives. If you're going to run a race, if you're training, let's say, for the Charlotte Marathon, the first thing you're going to do is make sure you have the right equipment, right? And so if you're going to run a race, you're going to go and you're going to buy some new running shoes. You can see these are well used. You're going to run and you're going to get, maybe these are the Nike Free, they're the lightweight, you know, the ones that you think, oh, these are like barefoot running. This is going to do the job if I'm running a race. And not only are you going to get shoes, you will probably try to get some lightweight shirt and shorts, something that's not going to be heavy, something that's sweat wicking, you know, that's the type of material that you want to run with. And you might even splurge for one of these fancy watches that tells you your mileage, tells you how fast you're going, and if you look at it and go, oh, that's, I need to speed up, you know, it tells you everything in a little watch. Yes, if you're running a race, you want to make sure you have the right equipment, right? Actually, I forgot one thing. If you are a true runner, all of us know you need this one thing that I forgot to show you. In fact, I left it right over here. If you are running a race and you need all the equipment, you can't forget your bag of sand. Right? You've got to just grab this bag of sand and then you take off running. It helps you. I mean, you can't really walk very fast, but it gets you centered and grounded, even though it's really kind of hard to run. Yeah, you need your bag of sand, right? Well, wait, no. Not at all. No. The scriptures tell us to lay aside every weight and sin that slows us down on this race of faith. We have sins like pride that focus ourselves on us and not God. We've got these ideas like comparing ourselves to one another, and we forget that we are a child of God, that God uniquely made. We look at one another with envy or greed, and we forget everything is a gift from God. All of these things act as weight in our lives that slow us down and burden us when we're running the race of faith. And so what the author of Hebrews says is you need to lay aside all those weights and burdens to run this race well. The first step is to avoid these obstacles. There's a second step, though, too. He goes on. He says, if you're going to run the race with perseverance, not only do you avoid obstacles, but in the next verse he says, you also need to be looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. So when we ask the question, how do we run the race of faith? The second response is to keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Yes, our text says, run this race with perseverance, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. What does it mean that Jesus is a pioneer of our faith? Well, simply put, that means that Jesus has already run this race of faith, that Jesus has blazed the trail. Jesus has forged the way. Yes, Jesus is the pioneer because Jesus has lived this life already. And so whenever you have to ask yourself, am I doing this right? Am I running well? Am I living faith out correctly? You've got an example that you can look to. You look to Jesus, the pioneer of our faith, the one who has already blazed this trail as our ultimate example to say, am I doing this right? And not only is Jesus the pioneer of our faith, Jesus is the perfecter of our faith, which means that Jesus has run this race perfectly, so well that anyone who wants to see how it's done only needs to look towards Jesus. Yes, Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And so you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. I heard a story once of 2 10-year-old boys and had just snowed 8 inches. And they challenged one another, as boys often do. And they said, let's see who can make the straightest line in the snow. And so they said, that's fine, that's good. And the first one, he sees a tree on the horizon. And he begins looking at that tree, doesn't take his eyes off the tree, and starts making a path in the snow. The second boy also sees a tree on the horizon. And so he looks at the tree, walks towards the tree, and then every 5 steps or so, turns back to make sure he's on the right course. And then would continue walking towards the tree, and then look back, make sure he's on the right course. When they got done, the first boy's path was straight as an arrow. But the second boy's path was more like a zigzag. And the second boy said, why? Why is my path not straight? And the first boy said, well, simply put, I kept my eyes on that tree, and I never looked back. And when you looked back, you wandered off course every time you took your eyes off of that tree. The same is true in our faith, where the author of Hebrews encourages us to fix your eyes upon Jesus, avoiding all obstacles and pitfalls and ways to wander off course. Yes, you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Now, I need to remind you that when you run the race of faith, you do not run alone. Now, this is really a relay race, where we have all these examples of people who've lived by the conviction of things they've not seen. They've lived by faith well, and it's like they've handed that baton from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. This is a relay race that we're on, and we now have been given this baton. It is our turn to run this race and to run this race well. And so, we too need to remember that one day we will be included on this list of examples of people who have run the race with perseverance. Yes, the saints that came before us built a very solid foundation upon which we now run. And so I wonder, who would you add to the cloud of witnesses? Who's a person in your life that has inspired you and encouraged you to live this life of faith, to run this race well? Would it be a parent or grandparent, a friend or mentor? Some of these people are still with us and some have passed on. I think of my grandfather. My grandfather died several years ago now. He was a farmer in rural Minnesota. And he was a good farmer, had lots of crops, lots of livestock, but that's not what he was known for. Now, he was known for this quiet faith that he passed on to all his children, my father included, who then passed it on to me and my brothers. Yes, and I, I think of my grandfather being a part of that cloud of witnesses, cheering us on as we run this race of faith. Do you know who else we could include on that list in the cloud of witnesses? I think Bob Heck is part of the cloud of witnesses. I think Donna George is part of the cloud of witnesses. I think we can add Faith Vogel, Alonzo Killian, and Jean Austin to this cloud of witnesses. And on some days, when it's really quiet, you can hear the faint cheers of the generations that have gone before us, encouraging us and urging us to run this race.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.